I appreciated that message tonight that our brother brought to us from Isaiah chapter 40, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible as well. The book of Isaiah in the Old Testament describes Jesus Christ and his work so well that it's often referred to as the Gospel of Isaiah, even though it's in the Old Testament. And I'd like to, if I may, go back to the first verse of Isaiah 40 where our brother was tonight. And notice the verse, comfort ye my people. Now that word comfort ye is repeated twice. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. God's people needed comforting. And God wanted them to be comforted. And so this is the word that would comfort God's people, Israel. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare has just started. No. That her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now I can tell you, if an Israelite was blessed to hear that and understand it, it would comfort them. And I believe this has an application to God's people all over the world, God's spiritual Israel. God has a comforting message for all of us today. And that message of comfort is the gospel. The word gospel means good news, glad tidings. How many of y'all love good news? I do. Well, the gospel is good news. It's glad tidings. That's what the word means. Good news or glad tidings. And the gospel that we are blessed to have today is a comforting message. And let's look now at the message God sent to Israel in verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That's meaning the war is over and we won. Tell her that her iniquity is pardoned. She's been forgiven. And tell her, she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now that would pay the debt, wouldn't it? I mean, if you've received double for all your sins, that means every sin has been paid for in full. Now let's look at that tonight in reference to us here in 2025. Beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior, came into the world and fought a battle that we couldn't win. And he fought it and he won on the cross. And I want to notice with you what Paul said about that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He would say in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Thanks be to God, which giveth us, not offers it, but gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on the cross met our enemy, Satan, and sin, and the world, and Jesus Christ in his death conquered our enemy and brought victory to all of God's children. So now Paul would say, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. We have victory tonight over sin and Satan and death itself. We have victory over the grave. Paul would say, O grave, where is thy victory? Well, in other words, he's saying, you think you've won out there, the cemetery. Y'all think y'all have won. The devil thinks he's won. Sin thinks he's won. You just wait till resurrection morning, and you'll see who won. Jesus Christ is coming back to get everyone that he paid for on the cross. And now these dear people are out there just resting, sleeping in Jesus. So comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. You know, beloved friends, a lot of people in the Christian world, friends of mine, people I have known, relatives of mine, really believe that you've got to hear the gospel, the good news, and you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior in order for you to go to heaven. Now that would not be good news. Let me illustrate it this way tonight. I was born in 1948. World War II ended in 1945, 3 years before I was born. The United States and the Allied forces won the war against Germany and Italy and the Japanese, and the war was over and the victory was ours. When I was born, I got here too late to fight in the war. I got here too late. Now, if somebody came up to me and said, Sam, will you accept the victory that the Allied forces won in 1945? If you would accept it, then that victory would be yours. What would y'all think about that? Brothers and sisters, that victory was mine when I was born. I didn't accept it. I didn't have to believe in it. It was mine. Can anybody see that illustration tonight? Y'all get it? Well, let me tell you, a lot of people will be in heaven by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ that never understood it, they never heard about it, they never believed it, but they'll be in heaven because of what Jesus did for them on the cross. Amen. A few weeks ago, I did something I seldom ever do. I went to the Huddle House in Cochrane for breakfast. And I enjoyed it, and I don't remember why I went, but I went, and when I went up to pay for it, the cashier said, sir, your breakfast is already paid for. I have no idea to this moment who paid for my breakfast, but it was paid for, and I didn't know it when I ate the breakfast, but I enjoyed it. It was mine. Even though I didn't pay for it. I didn't have to know about it for it to be paid for. Do y'all see that? But it was paid for, and I didn't know a thing about it. But I enjoyed it. I might have enjoyed it more if I'd have known it was free. But the truth is, I enjoyed it, and it was paid for by somebody anonymous. Now I want to tell you, multitudes will be in heaven by the grace of God, through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, that never will know about it in this life. I've asked many people, what do you say you've got to hear about Jesus, believe the gospel, accept Jesus, you know, you got to have faith in him, or you got to be baptized and all that in order to go to heaven. What about all the people from the time of Adam and Eve until Jesus came into the world? You know how long that was? According to Bible generations, it was 4,000 years. Human beings lived on this earth 4,000 years before Jesus ever even came. And somebody will say, oh, they heard about him through the prophets. Well, the Jewish people had prophecies, but they were a tiny minority of the human race. And by the way, the Israelite nation did not exist until Abraham, long after the flood. So how's those people? What's going to happen to all those people? Are you going to say they're all in hell? No. Let me tell you this evening, brothers and sisters, the blood of Jesus Christ reached back and paid the sin debt of all of the elect family that were in the world and died before Jesus ever came. And that blood reaches out, and it will pay the sin debt of every one of God's elect when the last one that is born on this earth, the sin debt is paid. Do y'all get that? I remember when I was a boy, we used to go up to Mr. Carden's country store. Some of y'all might remember Mr. Carden's country store about 2 miles from here. We'd go up there and we'd get us a RC Cola and a moon pie and we'd put it on Daddy's bill. Because Mr. Carden knew Daddy was good for it. Now, Daddy didn't want us to go up there and spend a lot of money, but we were allowed to go up there and get us a pack of peanuts and a Coca-Cola or whatever and put it on Daddy's bill. We enjoyed it. Did we have to wait till it was paid for to enjoy it? I can tell you we didn't. I enjoyed it on the way home. But it wasn't paid for until later. Now, God's people, God's elect family that lived in this world before Jesus ever came, when they died, they went right on to heaven in their spirit. Do y'all believe that? I do. The Bible teaches that. We know two that went on into glory that never died. That was Elijah and Enoch. They went right into heaven. And how did they go? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even though that blood had not been shed, God the Father knew His Son was good for it. Because His Son had promised, Father, I'll go into the world. I'll take their place. I'll pay their sin debt. How many of y'all believe Jesus paid for it? How many of y'all think you got to pay for it? Good luck. I want to tell you, we couldn't pay for one sin, but Jesus paid it all. He won the war. Long before I got into the world, Jesus Christ won the war at Mount Calvary and declared, saying, "It is finished." I love to tell what Amanda told a friend of hers when she was a little girl and she was with somebody and they wanted to know if she remembered when she got saved. And Amanda said, "No, that was 2,000 years ago." When did y'all get saved? You know, Brother Paul Blair told this story. He went to work one Monday morning and a friend of his came into work and said, "Paul, I got saved last night." And Paul said, "No, you didn't. You just found out about it." If you were ever saved, you were saved when the Savior died for your sins. And the Father accepted the offering that He made. How many of y'all believe that? I do. Now, a lot of people find out about it and think, "Oh, this is when I got saved." You might have been saved from doubts and worries and fears, but I want to tell you the good news is, beloved, we have been saved from our sins. We've been saved from hell itself, and we have been saved from lasting death because those who die in Jesus are just asleep in Jesus. And so Paul, the prophet would say, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. See, there's three things here that would comfort Israel. First of all, that the warfare has been won. You know, the war that's going on right now in Israel is very troubling, and I hope it doesn't escalate. But I recorded the interview that the Secretary of Defense had this morning, along with the Chairman of the Joint Staff. You know, it was a wonderful interview, and that four-star general went through every detail of that attack that took place Friday night. I mean, it was an incredible, well-planned, carried-out execution of those attacks on those Iranian nuclear plants. And I have a good friend in Cochrane who is a dear friend of mine, become a good friend of mine, Brother Yossi Balas. He's a Jew. He grew up in Israel, about 30 miles from Jerusalem. And he and I have become very good friends. He has two sisters living in Israel. And I asked him last night, "How are they doing?" He said, "Well, they're in high spirits, but they're not getting much rest. They have to go to bomb shelters every night." And he came down to the house this afternoon, and we watched what I had recorded this morning. And it was kind of a special to sit there with a man who is a nuclear engineer. His father was one of five men during the Six-Day War in 1967 when Israel beat seven Arab countries in 6 days. Do y'all remember that? And Yosef's daddy was one of five men in the secret service who knew where every Egyptian plane was and every Egyptian tank was. And they flew under the radar, under the Mediterranean, and attacked Egypt and destroyed their air force, totally destroyed it in 6 days. You know, God had to be in that. But my friend Yossi's troubled because his sisters are there now, and the war is not over, and he's troubled. And I'm concerned, and we all ought to be praying for our leaders. I appreciated Mr. Trump last night saying, God, we love you and we thank you for helping us. But I want to tell you, beloved friends, the war of all wars is over. Jesus won it at Calvary. How many of y'all believe that? And he won it for us, and the victory is ours. And I'm just a newsboy up here tonight. You know, how would y'all like to have been a news reporter after World War II and been able to broadcast to the American people, hey, moms and dads, the war is over. Your sons and daughters are coming home. But sadly, a lot of them didn't because they were left in Europe at Flanders and other places. But I want to tell you, beloved friends, Jesus is not losing one. Everybody he came to save, he saved them without loss of one. I rejoice. You talk about comforting news. That's good news, isn't it? You know, somebody said to you, okay, you can have $1 million. That'd be good news. But you got to work for it for 50 years. That'd not be so good a news, would it? What about it? So, what if somebody says, I'm just going to give you $1 million? Now that would be good news. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ didn't give us eternal life saying you got to work for it. He just gave it to us. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. How many of y'all know what a gift is? That breakfast the other morning was a gift. I don't even know who to thank. But I want to tell you one thing. I know who to thank for every blessing in my life. God is not anonymous. Whoever blessed me with that breakfast just did it anonymously. They didn't do it for show. They just did it. And I tell you, I appreciated it. But you know what? God's gifts to us are not anonymous. We know. James said, every good and perfect gift comes down from where? The Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift. Now, God blessed me that morning with that breakfast through an anonymous person. But let me tell you, I believe God was behind it. God laid it on somebody's heart to pay my breakfast, and I appreciated it. So in essence, beloved friends, every gift we have, our children, our grandchildren, our houses, our cars, our clothes, our food, our vacations, whatever we've got, ultimately it came down from God. Now, he may have given it to us through somebody, but ultimately God was the source of all blessings, including eternal life. Now, a lot of people will hear this message and they'll yawn and say, well, we've heard that 1,000 times. Brother Sam preaches on that all the time. See, people can get complacent. We can get sleepy. Like a lot of God's children of the New Testament, Paul said, wake up. Not from natural sleep, but from spiritual languish. You know, let me tell you, does this comfort y'all tonight to hear that salvation is by grace? Now, I want to ask you. See, if God's ever shown you you're a sinner, and only God can do it. See, Mama told me, I'm sure she told me I was a sinner. Daddy tried to tell me. But nobody can really tell you and convince you you're a sinner but God's Spirit. But when God's Spirit convicts you, you know you're a wretched sinner. Wow. And then you are glad to hear the good news, the comforting news of the gospel. I've thought about this a lot in reference to this text. The Titanic left England and was going to sail across the North Atlantic on its maiden voyage. I mean, it was the floating palace of the North Atlantic. Never been a ship like it. And the men who designed it foolishly said it's unsinkable. Did y'all hear about that yacht the other day? $40 million yacht that sunk is in the news. You can Google it. I'm not making that up. $40 million. And they said it's unsinkable, but it sunk. It doesn't pay to brag too much. Would y'all agree with that? Anyway, the men who designed the Titanic said it's unsinkable. The way they designed it, it had so many parts to it. If one part took on water, the other part wouldn't. But you know what? On its maiden voyage, it hit an iceberg. And in less than an hour, it was underwater. But before they hit the iceberg, you know what they were doing on the Titanic? They were having a party. They were dressed up in their tuxedos. See, some of the wealthiest people in Europe were on the Titanic. And they were dressed up, and they were having dinner in luxurious restaurants. They were dancing to the beautiful waltzes of Europe. And waltzes are beautiful. I mean, the Europeans have beautiful music. But they weren't thinking about God. They were having the time of their life. When that ship hit the iceberg and it became apparent that many of them were not going to be saved. See, they were so confident they didn't have nearly enough lifeboats for the people to get in. The women and children were put on the lifeboats, and the orchestra came out on the deck and began to play. And you know what they started playing? Not the waltzes of Europe. Nearer, my God, to thee. See, those people wouldn't have been. Do you think they'd have, how would they have responded if somebody had suggested, nearer, my God, to thee while they were dancing? I don't know if you could dance. I don't think you could dance to that hymn. It would have been out of place for that crowd. But let me tell you, when the boat was sinking, their mind was on God. I wish America was at a point now where they would love the gospel of grace and be comforted, hunger for it. See, beloved friends, we can hear it so much until we don't hear it. I hope tonight God will bless you with a ear to hear and a heart to rejoice in what Jesus did for all of us 2,000 years ago. And I wish I could live my life in such a way that it was like Jesus died for me this morning and he's coming back for me tonight. Just live that close to those glorious events. It would be a wonderful life to live. I thank y'all for your good attention this evening.